5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose Masterforce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from Masterforce today. Check out all our Masterforce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Could we do like an Elon Musk Neuralink where we put Pete's brain in Fetterman's body?
I'm interested in that.
Are you picking up what I'm laying down?
I don't think Chasten's going to be very excited.
Just saying that that might
Poor
be
Chasten.
The answer.
Oh, no.
Hello, everyone. It's the JVL here with my best friends, Sarah Longwell and Tim Miller of The Bulwark, live in person, gathering together the day before the president invokes the Alien Enemies Act of 1798.
Watch out.
And 4 days after we entered the part of the presidency where the president sends agents of the government door to door to detain people for having said things he doesn't like.
Before we get to that, can I tell you about a flu dream I had?
We were supposed to get right into the stuff on these videos now. Is that not quality control?
I wanted to tell people how Tim was just doing my hair with his hands.
The next level is different, okay? Okay. They're exceptions to everything, all right?
Okay.
The next level, people are here for the banter.
Hit me.
I had a flu dream where Kash Patel sent jackbooted thugs into my home to arrest me. And as I was being taken out, and they went out there, I didn't see it, but in my dream, they're going upstairs to my child's room. And I went outside, and I was like, "What did I do? What did I do?" And they cited me shouting, "Kill them!" from the Water Boy. And I was like, "You're
was
arresting
threat.
Me because of the Water Boy?" And then, like, some weird people from my high school showed up, and I don't know. Then I woke up in a sweat. But with the Alien and Sedition Act, I'm wondering if that was maybe a premonition instead of a dream. Maybe it was possible. Do you think, or do you think this is an unhealthy sign
that I'm
dreaming about arrest?
I don't think that it covers you, the Alien Sedition Act. Like, right. I'm not saying they're not coming for you for other
I'm not
other
an alien,
reasons.
But I might be seditious.
Yeah, but I think, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I did look this up because now we're trying to look things up before we talk about them.
Oh, now we're doing that.
But I was like, I was trying to understand exactly. But this is what led people, it's used in wartime. It has only ever been used in wartime. Like, when we are
correct.
Actively at war with another country. And it's what led us to one of the most disgraceful periods in American history where we were putting people in internment camps, the Japanese.
I mean, disgraceful according to who? Have you asked the MAGAs what they think about the internment episodes of World War II? Because I suspect they're probably pretty down with that.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Did you see the Jubilee thing where it was like Sam Sater was going up against a bunch of MAGAs and like the gay MAGA went up there and he's like, you know, he's like, you act like all MAGAs are like against gay people. And he's like, none of us want to make it illegal to kiss in the for two men to kiss in the street. How many of you would want them to kiss two men in the street and like six people in France? And he was like, oh, wait, maybe not. Yeah, I don't know. So I bet the Alien Sedition Act would do pretty good.
Yeah.
But why? Why are we're using that to what? Go round up. Is this for immigrants?
Undocumented immigrants because they are because the country is at war with what are now going to be designated as terrorist organizations. So like
the Mexican gangs,
the Venezuelan gangs, they are terrorist orgs now. And, you know, I'm sure.
So anyone who's, is it the gangs that get used? Because I'm for deporting gang members.
I mean, having watched the way the government has operated for the last 6 weeks, what confidence level would you have that everybody who they sweep up in this is going to be a member of a gang? Mine would be about zero, but maybe yours is different. Maybe you take the over.
I guess I'm still trying to figure out, is it they're saying, because if these organizations are terrorist organizations, mm-hmm. so the way that it would work before is we're at war with Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so we invoke this, and they put Japanese people into internment camps just because they're Japanese and we're at war with Japanese. Is this like, we have a Mexican cartel, we designate it as a terrorist organization, and so now anybody who's Mexican gets, or is it just people who are designated as members of Mexican cartel?
In this case,
it'd
be Venezuelan because it's Trendagua.
Okay.
Trendagua. You know, I don't know. Here's what I think's happening, is that Trump, well, we know that Trump is unhappy about the pace of deportations.
Yeah. Not going fast enough.
Not high enough, okay? And I think that what probably is happening is that Tom Homan, who's like good at Fox hits but probably not that good at his job, and he's like he's being yelled at in New York the other day, and he's like good at doing media stuff. Like, they don't have the low-hanging fruit they thought they'd have, right? They're like, we can just go into jails and deport people. It's going to be easy. And this, to me, feels a little... I hope I'm right, actually, because if it's Japanese internment camps, then it's going to be really serious. But to me, this feels a little stunty, that it's like, you know what? The deportations aren't happening fast enough. I'm annoyed by that. I'm getting some pressure about this. Trump's on my ass. We're going to do the Aliens Enemies Act, okay? We're doing it, we're declaring it, and it's kind of like the wall declaration. It's like, this is going to buy us some time. Now we're serious.
Yeah, I have a different theory. I think you're right, though, that it is potentially about optics. I just think it's different optics. So okay. I think the stock market is crashing. And I think that Donald Trump has a very specific go-to move when things are not going well for him PR-wise in other areas, where he's like, stonks go down. Deportations. This is like caravans.
Watch
right?
out, Haitians.
Yeah, yeah. Like
we're
going to ramp up the caravans. This is the move.
Well, with 35 minutes before the market's closing, the Dow is down another 475. And I'm going to, I don't know, maybe Barry can put this up. But this is the Dow Jones Industrial Average over the last, 365 days. Is that line good?
No.
Which direction? That line looks like it's heading down to the right.
It is.
Down and to the right. It's all very bad.
Did you see the CEOs are concerned?
Oh, I saw. Yeah.
It was right at the front of the office here. We handed out free Wall Street journals here. Sarah's not fully over, you know, her vestigial republicanism. So yeah. You got Wall Street Journal hard copies. Right there at the front, CEOs. Very nervous, and in private, of course.
Off the record. Not with their names attached to it.
Yeah, but they're thinking, they're feeling like things are a little rocky out there.
Have we done a proper I told you so to some of these people? Because there is an element of watching, again, I take no satisfaction from the, even if it's somebody who, there are all kinds of Trump voters that I think were lied to, whatever. The CEOs just thought they were going to get tax cuts and deregulation and forget the rest of the country as long as we get those things. And to see them get hit with tariffs and a negative stock market, I do think if this is what it takes to get
negative
them to realize.
Economic environment broadly. I thought that the Puma scoop that Egger did yesterday was like legit, right? It's like...
Yeah.
You don't think about, well, we think about it, but some people might not think about, you know, the sort of long tail ramifications of all this stuff where they're like private sector firings that are happening now because they're worried about immigration or worried about tariffs. Or I talked to a guy yesterday who called me who has an organic farm You'd think that'd be a good MAHA priority. But like this organic farm might go under because, you know, Elon cut the program that was giving the food banks money to buy from organic farms instead of from the big farmers, right? So, you know, that there's, it's not, I guess my point is it's not even just the tariffs, right? It's some of the DOGE stuff and some of the immigration stuff is also hurting private sector.
And just the uncertainty.
And the uncertainty, yeah.
Right. I mean, like anybody who is making either investment decisions or business decisions, like they want a stable economy, they want, or they want a stable environment, a stable regulatory environment, and they want a stable international environment. And so they have neither of those right now, thanks to Trump. And it is, was it, I think it was you saying this about how they finally started to price in, like the markets are finally trying to price in Trump. And it does look, they're trying to, what's funny is watching them go defend it, because there's two different things. Sometimes they say, actually, look, no pain, no gain, right?
Yeah, the great stuff's coming.
Yeah, you just have to get a little bit of a bumpy period, but then it's all gonna be awesome. Or it's like, no, this is Biden's fault. And Biden's economy. But like, did you see the CNBC anchor the other day who was just like, this is insane. Like, maybe I'll lose my job because the higher ups at CNBC want, still want everyone. And the other host, the woman, kept being like, well, maybe she's just trying to keep everybody on their toes, whatever. And the guy was like, I can't, you can try to come up with anything. This is insane. The tariffs, because it's not just the tariffs. It's not, it's that he's like, we're doing tariffs. Nope, we're not doing tariffs. Oh, we're doing tariffs again. Oh, we're doubling tariffs. Now we're in a full on trade war.
Did you see today's? We've been in all Stephanie's, you might have missed. Champagne and wine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw your tweet about suburban moms.
Suburban moms. We're trying to get...
Hardest hit.
We're to get up to Saddam Hussein numbers for the Democrats in the midterms of suburban moms. They're already peaking, but now we're going higher and higher. But yeah, no, it's like...
Franzi is going to be $7 a box.
Think about the champagne. Think about mimosas. Was the brunch costs? Brunch costs are going to be...
Eggs and mimosas.
We can't have... You used to have the all-you-can-drink mimosas. That was something me and Sarah used to do in our youth.
That is what we used to do.
None of those. No, not, Now you got to buy every mimosa by the glass. So,
Are going to be rough times for the gays.
It is. I do think, though, I mean, we have taken enough of a victory lap, but I don't... We haven't.
It's not a victory lap, because it's bad.
Yeah, well...
The people who were like, who said, you guys are being hysterical, we were...
Underplaying it.
I think we were pretty close to the mark, but
it's
like
been much, much worse than we thought.
It's just faster, but
faster.
But we were right about the scale of it. And watching a whole bunch of these conservatives or anti-antis, the Wall Street Journal editorial page being like, "Ooh, this is really bad. Oh, wait, we're on Russia's side and the tariffs." And
we haven't seen any. Any regrets yet?
No.
I mean, it's early, but we haven't seen any regret. Is the mea culpa clock starting? What, from the first person that says, you know what, I think I probably should have went with Kamala. I think the clock is on for the first one of those.
I'd like to see I just have to write somebody in because gosh knows I can't vote for. Those are the people I'd like to hear from soon.
You know, Bush administration world folks. But the CEOs, I just, these buckle up. I mean, I do think that they all, remember one of the things I got into a fight. I forget. Was on Steph Rule or Chris Jansen. I got into a fight with somebody, and they're like, basically, the thing is, it was with Steph, because she was making this point, which was reflecting a real view among the CEOs. So it was not her view, but she was like, these guys are like, well, Trump is malleable, right? He'll take my call. You know, or whoever he puts in at Treasury will take my call. You know, if Harris is in there, who knows? Like, there'll be some woke people around, and she might want socialism, and I don't exactly know what this person is like, and I don't know her. And Trump's
people got so rich under Joe Biden.
Yeah, I know. But Trump's got some bad ideas, but I know, you know, that maybe I'll try to do the tariffs, but if things get bad, we can call him, we can work with him. He's a deal man, he's a deal maker. I mean, that is potentially one of the world historic worst calculations it has ever made. I mean, I guess you hate to make the Hitler analogy, but it goes back to the Hitler industrialist level. I mean, it's the same mistake over again. So, but it's in the top tier misjudgments that you could have possibly made. As somebody that has achieved enormous success and wealth, you would have thought that you would have been able to make a better judgment call.
I don't know if you saw this, but I think it's Goldman Sachs upped our chances of going into a recession up to 40%. I remember when Republicans went on recession watch with Joe Biden. Mm. And in fact, they went so hard on recession watch that I recall voters were certain we were in a recession.
Oh, yeah.
When we never actually entered one.
Yeah, there was that whole conversation about, like, a meta conversation about how the media wasn't calling it a recession because technically you had to have two negative quarters
for it to be
a recession. Yeah. And there was only one negative quarter, so CNN didn't call it a recession. And then the MAGA folks are like, this is bias. You know,
so it's going to be great.
Well,
all right. Well, can we talk about Putin?
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The new year means new health goals, not just for your body, but for your finances too. But did you know financial health is directly related to identity protection? You need LifeLock because your personal info is in endless places that are outside of your control. It only takes one mistake, and not even your mistake, to expose you to identity theft and lost funds. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your subscription money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft alone. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
You know, why do you always have your notifications paused? You can never, even it, when you're one of the people who does text him, he like has his notification silenced.
It's normally because I'm taping a show.
Oh.
Say, my phone is also constant silence. I receive no alerts.
Yeah.
Okay, well, all right, just so pause my notifications.
When last we left, we had the intelligence sharing had been cut off, then it got turned back on. Then we had the attempt to bully Volodymyr Zelensky into a ceasefire. The Ukrainians came up with a tentative ceasefire agreement. And
Russia was excited about it.
As of today, the Russians are, first of all, we have Donald Trump saying, we're going to have to see. It's up to Russia now. It's never up to Ukraine. It's up to Russia. But it's not up to Ukraine.
It's not up to us.
Right. It's not up to us. It's not up to Ukrainians. It's up to Russia.
Not up to the Europeans.
You gotta listen to what the boss says. The Russians have said that they have many, many questions about the potential ceasefire, including how it would be verified and who would give orders and what would happen to the Kursk region, where Ukraine still occupies territories. And this is Vladimir Putin.
What will we do with this area in the Kursk region if we stop military action for 30 days? Does this mean that everyone who is there will leave without fight? Should we release them from there after they've committed a lot of crimes against civilians?
Vladimir Putin is worried about the fucking crimes committed against Russian civilians and thinks, like, should we just let these people leave? Is it like this everywhere, where the projections are confessions?
Yes, I think so. Did you see the Putin? I don't know if it was from this interview or otherwise, but after the supposed ceasefire agreement, Putin showed up like the first time we've seen him in a while, publicly, like,
military
in fatigues.
Dress. Yes, in fatigues.
Like, he's in full military fatigues, like, you know, signing some documents.
In the Kursk region. He went to the front lines.
About how they're taking land back in the Kursk region. Doesn't seem like a guy that was ready to just kind of do whatever Donnie Trump said. Not the message.
The Russians have said that it's unacceptable that any foreign troops could be stationed in Ukraine as peacekeepers or to. So, you know, I look.
And there were more bombs last night. The guy that I interviewed, I was signaling with him, Kaelin Robertson, in Kyiv. There were missiles in Kyiv again. So not like even in the east. There were missiles in Kyiv last night.
So, I mean, I'm just going to throw this out there.
So no ceasefire.
I mean, no ceasefire so far in there. Yeah. And Steve Witkoff hasn't made it there. Trump's, like, crypto business partner might close the deal.
But it could be that Donald Trump is really playing five-dimensional chess on this, and he wants it to look like Putin is going to blow up the deal so that he could get a stronger deal. I'm Ron Burgundy.
No, but isn't he doing something where he's trying to get – he's saying Europe can no longer buy Russian oil. Like he's sanctioned.
Trump's going to try to do some economic sanctions. But we've already maximized all, like pretty
but
much almost everything America could do. Right. Why would the Europeans do what Trump wants right now? All
I
he's
know.
Doing is like giving them swirlies and like, you know, like doing French accents to make fun of Macron. Like what is, like, why would they listen to him?
I'm not saying they would. Yeah. I just saw some of the bigger polishers on Twitter, Scott Jennings and Mark, is it Andreessen at the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah. No.
Not Andreessen, Thiessen.
Thiessen.
And they are being like, everybody who says Trump's a Russian stooge owes him an apology. Look at him here talking about sanctioning Russia.
Yeah, Crenshaw. Talking about sanctioning Russia.
Crenshaw was big on this, too. Crenshaw wrote a very lengthy thread, which I read to Mark Hertling on yesterday's pod. And I was like, I just, to be fair, we're fair at the Bulwark Podcast. Let me read you the spin of the, you know, strong U.S. military, pro-Trump vision. And I read him all of Crenshaw's arguments, and he was just like, that's it. That's moron. I mean, Hurling didn't even like give it the time of day. So this is ridiculous. But I mean, who knows? So Witkoff is going to get there. Witkoff was the one that did the deal. Remember where they pretended like we got the hostage home, the school teacher for nothing, and then it turned out that we like released the biggest Russian crypto scammer in history. Which is maybe a fair deal or whatever, but okay. It is pretty interesting that like the Witkoff children and the Trump children are in on the crypto scam together, and they've released a crypto criminal. Now he's the guy that we're sending over.
It's just coincidence.
So who knows? Maybe Witkoff will leave Russia and come away with a really humiliating defeat for Putin. I don't think that seems very likely.
I also think, just to do some commentary on the commentary, the idea that at this point in this negotiation, apologies should be issued for saying that Trump has been, he's not like he has to be a Putin puppet to be somebody who leans toward Putin in every way. And more importantly, no apologies, nobody should issue apologies to a guy who said that Ukraine started the war with Russia. And just like the 2020 election is trying to make people, it's like a litmus test, his people aren't allowed to say that Russia invaded Ukraine.
Well, it's complicated.
It's not complicated. It's hard to say.
Another, just while we're nitpicking their rhetoric, Trump did say that he was going to solve the war in 24 hours. I noticed we're 24 hours past the agreement with Zelensky, and we still don't have a deal.
Somebody in the Trump world actually said, well, he never said which 24 hours. Like, this is a not the Onion.
So not the immediate 24 hours after
when
the
there's
agreement.
A ceasefire.
When the clock
it
starts
will have
and
be,
ends.
It will have been accomplished within 24 hours.
Isn't there a Fletch bit on this?
Probably.
They died. The patient died very, very suddenly. Yeah. They're like, no, they were sick for a long time. But the end, the very end was sudden.
You know, I feel like Putin hasn't even thanked Trump. He hasn't even said thank you once in these meetings. It's really, it's very bad. Okay.
I bet he's thanking him. I bet they have their own phone calls.
Beautiful phone calls.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, so let's get to the big topic. Mahmoud Khalil, the Columbia University former grad student, graduated this past December, I believe, who has been detained by ICE, who came to his door and just whisked him away and took him down to Louisiana. And the Trump administration said, not because he broke any laws, but just because he was a threat to the foreign policy interests of the United States. I should say that the Trump administration gave that statement to Barry Weiss's Free Press, which has not been able to take a firm stand on the Khalil thing. They did.
On the one hand,
totally
free speech.
A1, just the facts, gonna tell you what happened here, gonna give you quotes from one side and quotes from the other. Because on free speech, it's all very complicated. You know, the Free Press, they can't say too much. Mwah! Chef's kiss. I hate those people.
Okay.
Guys. All of them.
So the people arresting Khalil or the...
So I wrote about this the other day. Mona wrote about it for us today. I managed to get yelled at both by people who were defending Khalil to me, saying how dare I impugn his honor as being a good person, which I think he doesn't seem to be a particularly good person. That's okay. His politics are not my politics. You don't have to be a good person to live in America. And also from people saying, why am I turning him into a hero of the resistance, which I also don't think I was doing. But I am interested about you, Sarah. Where are you on all of this?
Well, this is where I do think the Free Press, this one's not that complicated. Unless somebody comes up with somebody would have to show me a new piece of evidence for me to believe that this is more complicated than it looks, because the Trump administration has officially said.
And maybe there is more evidence.
Yeah, so like if something comes out.
Well, but they gave a statement that said he didn't break any laws.
I know.
So I don't know what the more evidence would be.
I know, but I'm just saying maybe there will be, and if so, happy to revise.
And so if he had given money to a terrorist organization, if he had expressed some action. Like
on their behalf?
Or something. Like
there's some evidence that he was speaking to, you know, some Hamas leader in Qatar who asked him to, you know,
occupy the Hamilton building.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, he was taking direction. I mean, there are things that would be breaking the law, but they have said he didn't occupy a building in a way that broke the law, according to them. He didn't deface any property, which a lot of these protesters. So, like, if there's none of that, then it does seem to be a simple case of him saying things that, when you just say his politics aren't our politics, I want to be clear that actually I find some of what he says, like, although, and he's kind of careful about what he says, but I am not on their side. Like, the rhetoric of the people occupying college campuses, and granted, there's also a range of views among those people, and I say that, but like, I probably, even just failing to express, I think, outrage over what happened on October 7th, to me is like, then you and me are not on the same page, because I think that was a terrorist action. Clearly, horrific crimes against humanity were committed, and I think Israel has a right to defend itself. That being said, it's obviously now very complicated. There's a lot of humanitarian issues in Palestine. Trump is talking about turning it into, you know, beachfront property, which I think is gross and disgusting. But here's the thing that I, here's how I learned about free speech and why I think that this issue is pretty cut and dry. I remember my parents, I believe it was my parents or I learned it in school, but I learned about Skokie, Illinois, which was a bunch of Ku Klux Klan Nazi types marching through like a retirement village filled with old Holocaust survivors. And I remember saying as a maybe like a 13-year-old or something, they shouldn't be allowed to do that because it offends every sense of decency that somebody has, that I had. And I was it was explained to me, like, this is the thing about America. Like, if you don't hurt anybody and you can have, everybody gets the same speech and it is all protected and the government can't do anything to you. And it was, I remember having a similar revelation around flag burning, like as a speech proposition, something Trump has said should be punished by people going to jail. I remember people being like, burning the flag is like, because the fact that you can do it is such a, it might be offensive, but it's a deep expression
right.
of free speech. Like nobody can put you in jail for doing that. So if that's
nothing
free
more
speech,
patriotic than burning the flag.
No, not patriotic, not patriotic. It's not patriotic.
No, I'm just joking.
But it does, our it shows how deep our level of tolerance is in this country, and it makes us unique. And it's a, something that's always I like cherished as an American value. Stop.
It's nice. I'm getting
chills. You know who's with you?
Who?
Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter tweeted out, there's almost no one I don't want to deport, but unless they've committed a crime, isn't this a violation of the First Amendment?
Yeah.
You and Ann Coulter, same
that's,
spot.
Well, I mean, you yeah. know, what is that
and Candace
mean?
Owens, but I think that her rationale is maybe a little different.
What's her rationale? Okay, she's
oh, we'll yeah. get to that, because this is a very interesting thing. Among the MAGA slash anti-anti side, there have been the Barry Weisses of the world who are very studiously not taking a position. There have been a lot of MAGAs who are, yeah, good, go get them. But then there have been some Glenn Greenwald, Matt Taibbi, and Candace Owens who have said, wait a minute, this is a free speech issue. Huh. I wonder why they were concerned about this being...
Well, this is there's like six people
there's
in the
so
whole
many
world.
Things happening here.
There's like six people in the world who are consistent on free speech because yeah. it's actually really hard because you have to tolerate garbage
Jill
things.
And Greg Lukianoff or
it's like those guys at Fire who are, you know, keeping yeah. it real. Probably yeah. the ACLU.
Yeah, I'm pretty good on free speech, though. So, you know, I don't know. You could probably get me to bend here or there. Not on this. This I guess. My view on this is probably going to be different, maybe than even some than some listeners like my like conservative side or whatever my Bush era anti terrorist side might be showing on this. But like this guy was born in Syria, he's Palestinian. He also is Algerian, and he had a British security clearance as well. And he has his green card. His wife's American, pregnant, and so. Like, again, going back to what you said, I think that there are probably some things that he could have done that, like, were not against the law that you could have sold me on the rationale that, like, we pulled this guy's green card. Sorry, you got to go back to Syria or Algeria, or you can't go to Gaza now, or the UK, right? Like, you got to go back to one of these other countries, right? Like, things such as, you know, we had evidence that he was communicating with terrorist group Hamas, and they were coordinating the protests, right? Like, that's... Is that, we'd have to get one of the law experts on. But I guess what I'm trying to say is there's probably something short of like actual law breaking when it comes to terrorist sympathizing or communication that I would say, like, sorry, man, like, yeah, you're here illegally on a green card, but like, no, like, so this is not a green, you know, green card certified activity, right?
Yeah.
That's not what they're fucking doing. Like, they sent in ICE. And this guy is, and his wife is 8 months pregnant with a kid, and he's shackled in Louisiana. Like, they flew him across the country. Like, this is sick. Like, and they're doing it to be particularly, it is cruel. It's an effort to send the message. You know, it's an effort to chill speech. It's an right. active effort to chill speech. And so, like, it just doesn't even, like, this specific case doesn't even come close to the threshold of what would be, like, an edge case where a Secretary of State might decide that somebody, you know, has to have their green card.
Let me read the law
to you.
Please.
An alien whose presence or activities in the United States the Secretary of State has reasonable grounds to believe would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences for the United States. That's the law on this. And then it goes on to say that these things are only lawful, you can only deport them if the Secretary of State personally determines that the alien's continued presence would compromise a compelling United States foreign policy interest. I do not think there is any reasonable way to say that, like, this guy's campus activism at Columbia
in the past,
or even if it was ongoing, like, yeah, has right, anything to do with foreign policy interests in the United States. Like, literally zero, right? I mean, but what I could see is somebody saying that, say, Mark Kelly going to Ukraine. And now, Mark Kelly is not an alien. You can't pull his green card. But if the idea is we're going to start finding reasons to detain people, because that's what this is about. It's about finding reasons to detain people. Is working in opposition to any policy of the Trump administration working contrary to the interests of the United States? I think so. Right.
Well, this is where I thought, because I read your triad, and aww, I thought your point about who was the bigot you were talking about? Oh, you were talking about the guy
Alez,
from Doge.
Marco Alez.
Yeah, right.
Big balls?
No.
It was
Marco
the different
Alez.
Guy.
Oh, different
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
This was the guy who said, I was racist before it was cool.
Oh, eugenic.
Yeah, normalize yeah. Indian hate.
Yeah.
And so he said some very repellent things, deeply repellent. And the vice president came to his assistance to talk
just
about showing grace.
Can't,
and it's just
can't
a young
ruin his life, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then I think this is always important with the Trump stuff, is to make sure you are looking at the full context. For example, we invited the Tate brothers back to the country. Mm.
They don't like the Jews. I don't know if you've heard that. They do
women,
not like the Jews.
Or women. They are, in fact, the entire QAnon thing, we don't talk about QAnon as much anymore, but
Will Summers
child
here,
trafficking.
So.
We will.
Child trafficking was the whole thing. That's why some guy went into Comet Ping Pong telling them there's a basement.
They're very upset about hypothetical child trafficking among people they hate. Child trafficking happening by people that they like is good.
Yeah.
Actually. Just depends who's trafficking
human,
the child.
Yeah, so human trafficking
that
they're
good
doing.
Masculine
yeah,
energy.
And yeah.
It's good masculine energy. Yeah.
I don't know that it's child trafficking. I think it's just human trafficking of women.
Yeah, the women. Some of the women were underage.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
it might have been on the border. It was more like, it wasn't like 4-year-olds.
But this
like
is disgusting behavior.
Don't forget the Camp Auschwitz guy.
Sure.
They pardoned him.
Yep. Well, they pardoned people who got 22 years for seditious activity against our government. So, yeah, it does appear that we're having a political litmus test, especially, I guess, the what they're using is this markover. But this is what authoritarians do.
Yep.
They do use oftentimes a legal mechanism or something that can be shrouded in legality. Like, well, the Secretary of State. Congratulations again, Marco, by the way. You are really crushing it
the
right
Marco
now.
The Marco clips that keep coming around, I got bored because I lived the fucking 2016 campaign. So every time an old Marco clip about how Donald Trump is a risk and horrible and they all regret it, I've seen them all a million times. I clipped them probably. But, you know, I didn't follow little Marco's Senate speeches that closely. And like, man, like the passion with which he was talking about Ukraine and the Russian threat and how we can't, it's just, it's really astonishing. I mean, it is Lindsey Graham, like Olympic level flipping and twisting.
And you know, he doesn't get the Lindsey Graham treatment because all of us have adjusted to the fact that people are going
to
just wholesale change their personalities. But
yeah,
he did it in a way that we were like, well, we've never seen somebody change this quickly and this directly, diametrically opposed to their previous position and everything they stood for. So we're all fascinated by it and examining it and thinking about it. And with Rubio, we're like, yeah, this is what people do now. This is what Marco does.
Yeah. So I guess there's questions about, is this a trial balloon or is this the beginning, right? So, yeah, I could see a world in which if the detention of Mahmoud Khalil is opposed sufficiently and a political price can be imposed on the Trump administration, which maybe it will. I don't know. If Ann Coulter's against it.
No.
No. If the courts say no to this, right, maybe you could just stop it and it doesn't happen again. Or maybe this is just, we're going to, you know, frog boiling the water again. I don't know.
I think it's a trial balloon. I don't know if it's in the worst possible outcome that somebody might imagine when they hear that trial balloon for like detaining people that didn't break laws. Because I do think Trump has a specific, and Miller in particular, and some of these other guys have a specific bugaboo for the protests. Like they were, like Trump really wanted to crack debt to start shooting during the Black Lives Matter protests.
Oh yeah.
Like he like deeply wanted it. And he, the fact that we all made fun of him for being in the basement, like, you know, all this shit bothers him. Like he is as attuned to what is happening in the narrative around all this stuff as anybody. Like it's just all he consumes, right? So I do think that he is laying the groundwork for much, much tougher crackdowns on protesters, imprisoning protesters, if there's another round of campus stuff, doing the things like this to Khalil.
I mean, this is a warning shot to anybody who would protest the Trump administration, for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but it's also, that's that, I mean, this is a bit of a cliche at this point, but it is that first they came for the communists, and I didn't object because I wasn't a communist, and then they came for the homosexuals, and I didn't, you
that's
know.
That's literally what it is.
But it is, you made this point, and it's a good one, right? None of us want to be in the position of defending this guy, right? No. Like, you don't, but...
Can't stand this guy.
And so they know, right. They know that it puts people in a difficult position because you don't want to go to bat for someone whose views you think are abhorrent. However, it's the whole point of America, guys. That's like, what did you say? What was your line in the thing? Nobody has freedom.
I just write so many words. I don't remember any of them.
You had one line. It was like it was the line about...
I'll look it up.
You had a good line.
Yeah.
You had one good line. You know what? While you look it up, JBL, you know what I've found out today is Sarah, I think, is reading your triad actually more often than she's listening to the podcast. Over the past 2 weeks, I was like, this takes us nicely to the next topic, actually. I was like, hey, I want to talk about Fetterman. And she was like, why? And I was like, well, because of the interview. And she was like, what interview? What are you talking about? And I was like, John Fetterman was on the Bulwark's Daily podcast last week. Something I'd like to talk about. Mentioned several other guests recently that she seemed to have middling levels of familiarity with.
I was out of town last week.
Okay, it's fine.
You have to defend it for everyone, or it applies to no one.
There you go. That was a good line.
Yeah.
That's the thing about
freedom. You have to defend it for everyone or it applies to no one. Exactly.
It's really profound. Okay. Well, I guess we did the Khalil thing faster than I thought we would.
Why? Do you think, I guess, do you think?
We have plenty of other stuff to talk about. We got Fetterman, we got Hot Stove 2028.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Fetterman, Hot Stove 2028. Well, let's go to Fetterman. Sarah, what do you think about that Fetterman interview?
I'm glad to know that Tim had Fetterman on the show. Tell us about the interview.
Most of the listeners. So I forget when the last time this happened. Oh, Douthat, or maybe. It was where I was like, or Steve Hayes, maybe. I was like, I don't want to have people on the podcast and then make a habit of going on the next level and shitting on them. I think that's not like really good praxis.
Yeah.
But I do think there's some news that was like, obvious to me, but I don't know if people were talking about it, that I think is worth talking about with regards to the Fetterman interview. They had reached out just in candor about they wanted to come on, and I was like, flattered. Great. That's great. Yeah, we'd love to have John.
They must have read all those pieces about him in the future of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, he's obviously very interesting and relevant right now. He's pissing off a lot of the Dem-based people over some of his zags on like immigration and crime and stuff.
So right now he's like the only yes on the CR.
Yeah, so I totally disagree with him on process. On the policy stuff, you know, I mean, I'm sure on the edge some of the immigration crime Israel thing. I'm not with him on everything, but like directionally, I think it's good for the Democrats to have people that are going to be pro-Israel, like want to be a little tougher on crime, tougher on immigration. It's good for the Democrats to have that in their coalition. They could use more. So my issues aren't any policy. And we did disagree on the shutdown strategy. He's of the view that having a shutdown is like, you know, just gonna, you know, be horrible and that we shouldn't do it. And it's like, okay. But my issue, did you actually listen to the interview? JVL? No, neither of you did. Okay. Well, I've got homework.
I'm so sorry.
I've got homework for both of you guys.
I'm so sorry.
No, no, please.
I was going to fake it.
It's fine. it's fine. I've got homework for you guys. The listeners of The Next Level, I think, by and large, probably heard it. So they'll know what I'm talking about. He's struggling. He's like really struggling.
Yeah.
And he like really struggled to answer questions. And I just think coming off of the Biden thing, that like we should not be like hiding the ball on this sort of stuff. And I guess it's good that he's out there and trying to do interviews. And I'm sympathetic to the fact that he had a stroke and he's trying to recover. But after the interview, I was kind of like, why aren't more people talking about this? Like, it's very, I mean, I asked him several times to give me examples of things that he thinks that the Trump administration is doing that he doesn't like, and I couldn't do it. Not because he didn't disagree with them on certain policy things. The interview started with his disagreement with them on trans policy, but because like his brain's moving slow. You know, it's like he couldn't catch up to everything. So it's a sensitive thing. But I just feel like. You know, then there were some people in the comments that were like, Tim, why weren't you going back at him harder? And I was doing the interview and I was kind of like, I don't want to like make this more uncomfortable than it already kind of is, right?
By trying to interview like that recently.
By trying to argue. Yeah, you did. by trying to argue with him. So I don't know, man. I think that obviously you've been super pro Fetterman fanboy. I think the Democrats need more people in his oeuvre, both stylistically and policy. But that is a pretty big concern if you're like,
health events are real.
Health events are real. And if you're like, oh, well, the Democrats need somebody that like could fit in at a monster truck rally. And then people are like, Fetterman. And it's like, well, the only guy that fits that bill like isn't really up for it.
Yeah. So, that's Sarah, concerning. Who do you think should primary Fetterman?
I guess, well, I'm sitting here thinking, I obviously think there's a difference between a sitting senator and somebody running for president of the United States.
Yeah, sure.
And I guess is the issue that you're having like maybe this guy shouldn't be in the Senate?
I the issue that I'm having is this is a place for full candor.
Yeah.
And I'm interviewing a US senator and like he's not able to really enunciate points coherently that are outside of the talking points. And I just, like, I don't think that that should be the kind of thing that people are just like, we're just not going to talk about that. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe that's fine. I'm saying maybe it's like behind the scenes it's fine and it's just in live interview settings. You know, it's the processing is a little bit slower. But I don't, I mean, I don't know. You know,
it's not
all
great,
this,
Bob.
Yeah, it's not great, Bob. And every vote that the Democrats have right now really matters. And there's the guy that was 70 years old that just died. I mean, God love him and rest easy to the Texas Houston congressman that just died. But like, if Democrats have people in there that aren't able to do the job, like they should find replacements. I guess is my point. Like that could be a potentially huge missing Democratic vote in the coming reconciliation bill.
Well, I guess there's no evidence that he's like missing work and can't show up. It's
but
just
also,
more.
He will have to stand for re-election, right?
Yeah,
you can't lose that
seat.
I actually
do think he's missing the most votes of everybody so far. I didn't want to bring it here to be like we should get rid of Fetterman. Like this is not like hot take zone. Like fuck Fetterman. Fetterman, get out of here, Fetterman. It's just like I interviewed the guy on the podcast and people were commenting about like why I didn't go at him harder. Like this is why I didn't go at him harder because it felt like I was interviewing somebody that did not have the ability to spar with me.
Yikes.
We'll just leave it there, I guess. A lot of growing. This is why people don't talk about it, though, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
This is why people don't talk about it. I'll just say, I texted a couple of other reporters who had interviewed him recently just to be like, I'm not crazy, right? And nobody thought I was crazy.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, so last week we talked a little bit about Gavin Newsom's 2028 campaign podcast, and you guys were very down on it, and I have some good news.
No, I was, because I've got to eat this one. I was pro. You guys were down on it.
He was pro, and I said, it depends. It depends if he's going to go on there and give them, like, concede everything to them, which it sounds like he did.
Yeah, so I was wrong.
Okay, well, good news. There's another alternative.
Two more.
Rahm Emanuel might be ready to run. How does that make you guys feel?
Why are you laughing at that?
I'm a maybe. I'm a hard maybe. I don't know.
I'm also a hard maybe. I'm not reflexively against it.
Rahm has a weird obsession with Yeti cups lately. Keeps talking about how if you have a Yeti cup, you should not be telling people what to think. All right, you should be sitting down and listening, because the Democrats are doing too much, you know, stuff that is being demanded by the people that drink out of Yeti cups. I find
Yeti
that pretty
strange. Yeti cups are a marker of the great working class fishing hunting class. Like, what is that? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I also find Yeti to be a weird. It's not like avocado toast makes sense, but like,
yes,
a Yeti.
Yeti cups.
I also find it a little weird. So all those dudes,
I mean, I have a Yeti.
With Salt Life stickers on the back of their pickup trucks, also have Yeti coolers and cups. And
yeah, I mean, again, maybe he was talking to me because I have a pink Yeti cup, which is not exactly a working man's cup. But
Tim is our manosphere guy.
My point is
that we're going to address solving the problem of the young men.
My
masculinity.
Point is, maybe he's a little out of touch with the. But you know, the Democrats need somebody with balls. They need somebody who can go to interviews. I'd be interested in that.
They based Ari from Entourage on. Yeah.
I could not be more. Actually, this is not true. I was about to say I could not be more open to any possible Democratic candidates. There are a lot of people I could not that are a no for me. I'm very open to anybody that has balls and that is willing to. That has labias or whatever we're doing as the
verb. Don't point at me and say labia.
what are we replacing balls with so that it's not a masculinized term anymore?
I have to think that HR is going to frown on that.
Oh, ovaries of steel.
Ovaries
over
of steel.
Here.
I want someone with ovaries of steel and who can go on to podcasts, who speaks like a normal person, who working class people like do not feel as completely dismissive of their interests. If that's Rom, great.
Well, how about Tim Walz?
I'm a little skeptical.
Tim Walz has started running around the country now. Tim Walz, who's always
I'm
like,
no
this is
going
to be my. Remember, he said I wanted
I said
to be.
Ovaries of steel.
He said he was going to be Kamala's wingman because this was his last stop. He had no greater aspirations, and here he is. Like
he's on Gavin's podcast this week. No, I don't know.
No, no, I'm a hard no on Tim Walz. Listen,
tell me more.
I saw somebody walking around in one of those camo Harris Walz hats when I was out in L.A., and I wanted to like. Take it off and be like, you LA hipsters, this is your fault. Like,
give him a swirly.
This is the problem. It's like
you
a,
did this.
This camo affectation of like a person who, you know, that person's not in the woods. They're not hunting. They don't need to be invisible in trees. So I just, Tim Walz did well in his VP audition, disappeared for the rest of the campaign after the DNC.
Gave a very nice 15-minute speech at the DNC.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, I can maybe see it. And then I never saw it again.
I want to reframe what I was saying. In addition to ovaries of steel, I want somebody that I think can go and give J.D. Vance a swirly.
Yeah,
if it comes
like,
to that. If we have elections again and we have debates again and all that, we don't know. Maybe we won't, but we might as well plan as if we will. And I want somebody that can give J.D. Vance the swirly that he deserves. And Tim Walz obviously failed at that and can't do it. Maybe Rom can do it.
I do feel like you need just like a little bit of stuff them in the locker energy.
Yeah.
And I like Rom. I haven't seen Rom do anything in a very long time, so I don't know what Rom's up to. Apparently, he's worried about Yeti cups, so I don't know. But
he's been in Japan for a while.
Yeah, but I would love to see.
No, he's the ambassador to Japan.
Yeah, he's the ambassador. Just that a euphemism.
I don't know. Your community has a lot of slang terms that really get right over my head.
Okay, anyway.
I've already used my only Japanese slang term that I know.
That's where I started thinking about, too. I wish I didn't know what that meant. I'd gone my whole life without
knowing. We told you not to Google it.
You told me after the show.
I didn't tell you after the show.
Yes, you did. You both did. And now I have people
HR would object to that as well.
And I have people coming up to me all the time being like, do you want me to tell you what it means? And I'm like, no, I don't.
Please
I've
don't,
got it.
Please
thanks.
Don't do that to Sarah. Okay, well then how about Mayor Pete? Because he's our other great hope.
I love Mayor Pete so much. And the big news today is that he is foregoing his Senate run, which I thought he should have done, although it does pave the way for friend Mallory McMorrow, who, and maybe there'll be some others who throw their
Dana
hat in that
Nessel
ring.
Maybe
oh, Dana Nessel also, yeah. There's speaking of ovaries of steel. But it means that Pete is probably going to try to run in 2028, and we'll see where things are then. But
I'm also we'll see where things are then. Look, I love Pete, and I should just say, I was deeply skeptical of Pete the first time. Like me and Liz Smith are old friends, and she's like, "You're going to love my guy. He's a homosexual like you. We're doing it." And I'm like, and I've said this to Liz publicly plenty of times. This is not a secret. I was like, I'm worried that you need therapy. I was like, is this a cry for help? Like, the mayor of South Bend is not going to do well. And, like, I went to a meeting with him. It wasn't like a meeting. But, you know, they're like eight people, one of those dinners or whatever. And I was like, he seems like a smart guy, smart mayor, great mayor. But, like, president? Like, come on. Like, crazy to me. So what the fuck do I know? You know, because he ended up doing a million times better than I ever thought. I think he's great. You know, they got to figure out their problem with working class voters, period. End of story. And it's like, Pete the right person for that?
I
think it's a tough sell. But I think if anybody could make a tough sell and make it compelling, maybe it's Pete Buttigieg.
Wait, this is where the Fetterman thing I think matters, is that you just hear people say Fetterman as a stand-in for like what the party needs.
Yeah.
And so I think there, it's worth noting that like, there is no Fetterman 2028 based on just from a
Could we do like an Elon Musk Neuralink where we put Pete's brain in Fetterman's body?
I'm interested in that.
Are you picking up what I'm laying down?
I don't think Chasten's going to be very excited.
Just saying that that might
Poor
be
Chasten.
The answer.
Oh, no.
Like Watto from Total Recall.
Is Chasten going with Pete's brain and to Fetterman's body? Or is he sticking with Pete and getting Fetterman's
This is why these shows are better over remote when we do it in Zoom. It's a little loopy when we're here.
We do. It is when we're together. You know what? Wait, hold on. You know I love Pete. Remember, I fangirl hard Pete. For Pete. I think, but when I listen to the focus
there's
groups
a guy.
Now.
There's a guy. Is you and Pete.
This was me not being able to get words out because I think he's so smart and I think he's a lovely guy. But if you listen to voters right now and you ask them, they've really internalized the America is too racist, too sexist, too homophobic to elect a woman, a black person, or Pete Buttigieg. Like, that's just.
I want to say one more thing. I want to be wrong, though.
Yeah, I know.
I want to be wrong. And also, what's 2027? Who the hell knows? You know, like, there could be, like, a meteor happen, or there could be some high-profile anti-gay hate crime, and the nation rallies behind it. Like, we've been totally wrong every time. You know, nobody would
Speak
have picked...
for yourself.
I'm sorry. You thought that Barack Hussein Obama in 2005 was going to be the president in 28. Sure. You thought that in 2013, you thought Trump would be 2016 president. No, we were right about Trump this time. So who knows? I do think the working class thing is a big challenge.
Can I make a practical argument on this?
Please.
If you're Pete and you want to run for president, practically speaking, forget the working class. That's the second order problem. The first order problem is African American voters in the Democratic primary.
Yeah.
Isn't running statewide in Michigan a great way to try to fix that vulnerability? In yourself as a political commodity?
Yeah,
Michigan's got a big African American population. Yeah. You could go in and like figure out how to connect with those voters, and wouldn't that be a good thing if you wanted to then run for the Democratic nomination?
This is a great point. It is an enormous vulnerability with him. I think he could have won that Senate race in Michigan. And it would have given him the ability, to spend time in Detroit and other places. Like, everybody's looking at him in 2019, being like, South Bend, Indiana. And he had a couple of, like, police issues.
He had some issues. And African-American voters did not want to touch him in 2019.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think they're happy to touch him.
Okay.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying, is that, like, you know, he had a real vulnerability.
It was like they were scared to touch him.
That is a core Democratic constituency.
Are you familiar with figures of speech?
I don't know. I was having 1980s flashbacks there. It's like, there's like Magic Johnson. Like, don't touch him.
I'm just saying that Mayor Pete, if you're listening and you want to run for president, I think you should run for the Senate seat first. Just makes the most sense to me from a nuts and bolts.
Let me tell you what I do like about it and why I'm sort of like, look, whatever Pete wants to do, I think he probably should have run for the Senate. But if he wants to start running for president right now, I do think more people need to get, I want them to be so ambitious that they start running right now and they start running against Donald Trump and they start being messengers.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Maybe just get a podcast. Bring some right-wing people on.
Don't do a podcast.
Right. Yeah. Don't do that.
The podcast market is oversaturated with Gavin Newsom.
I got to tell you, Gavin's podcast hasn't really landed for me so far. I will say that. It has not met with my expectations. But he is outcharting all of the other competitors that we have in the space. Ted Cruz, Matt Gaetz, Jamal Bowman.
He's getting the new pod.
Corey Bush.
Bump. You don't know. He's get the. They,
I know.
Jumps
I know.
To the top of the
I know
charts.
I know he's getting the bump. I'm just saying, none of those other people have passed me. And he's stayed
he's
up
doing
there.
Steve Bannon this week, right?
He already
You're
did.
Feeling
Bannon.
Competitive.
Bannon.
Podcast competition.
I am feeling
Gavin
a little competitive.
Newsom.
I mean, Gavin's booking is, you know, he's got Tim Walz. I'm sure Tim Walz is really excited to come on my podcast after we're just like. I'm just saying, and I don't know how much it's helping.
We
got to
have Gavin on your show,
but across all the other politicians,
let's have Gavin on. Can I be on when you do Gavin?
Yeah, let's do that. I'll text him.
America's foremost Gavin hater.
I'm not his foremost hater because I use the fact that I don't care for Gavin Newsom's politics to admire his communication style, because he is often one of the only people out there swinging. He goes on Fox News. I think that this podcast is, he has tipped over into stunt territory rather than good communicator territory. I think he is doing, I think.
Also, just can we do the stunt right?
Yeah,
this is right. This is my thing. Just do the stunt right. Like, the thing that frustrates me about this thing is you have Charlie Kirk on, and it's like, he's really nice to Charlie. Like, kind of too nice, really. Like, complimenting and being almost, like, over-complimenting him. Like, the way that Trump talks about Putin or MBS. And, like, it's like, why are you praising Charlie Kirk so much? And then the interview ends, and, like, Charlie Kirk puts out videos on this thing that's like, Kirk crushes Newsom. And it's like, on the blast radius thing, all of the clips are either, like, Gavin sucks up to Kirk, or Kirk crushes Newsom, and then Gavin puts out his thing. I had a great meaningful conversation with Charlie Kirk. It was just like, you got played.
He did.
You got played. So if you're going to do a stunt, stunt it the other way, where you have a nice conversation with him, but you win on 2 points, and then you put those two clips out really quick, and like, you know, like,
or win on all the points. It's Charlie Kirk. He's wrong about almost everything.
There you go.
And you know what? Hey, Gavin, if you want to say that you're wrong about some of that stuff, and frankly, I think, good, man, you're hitting some mainstream points. That's good. I think more Democrats should take more mainstream points. Do you need to do it to normalize Charlie Kirk? Can you not go on to be like, hey, Charlie, man, I just wanted to sit down and tell you how right you and your coalition have been on some of these key issues. Yeah. Gross, dude.
Could he book somebody?
I love how you looked to the camera on that. That was nice.
I just, in case you're watching, I want you to know. I want you okay. to know I feel this way.
My complaint is just that, why Charlie Kirk? Surely there is some good faith Trumper
out there. Because his kid likes Charlie Kirk. You haven't seen the clip that's going around everywhere? Oh, Charlie, my kid was so excited you're going to be here. He wanted to skip school today so he could come see you, Charlie.
Ew.
I know. Ew. That's what I'm saying. What are you doing? Well,
good
what
show.
What a show. Long show. Really long.
I can't believe that that's a real thing that happened. Guys, it was great to be here with you. Everybody, hit like, hit subscribe, follow the channel, do all the things for us. Help spread the word about the Bulwark, because we're all on a rocket sled to hell, and we might as well do it together. Good Peace. Luck, America.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.